want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I begin to read in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, what did he just sing about? Boy, he created the earth and the moon and Jupiter and Mars and all those things. Didn't he do that?
Amen.
He literally, though, commanded the light to shine out of darkness on the first day. I believe the sun was created on the fourth day, but God, before the sun was ever created, said, "Let there be light." And he rolled back and that the veil of heaven, and there was light. But then, look what he's talking about, though. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you again, Lord, and that for just the wonderful time of singing so far that we've had. Of the choir singing, and Lord, of the special singing, I pray that those songs have uplifted you and blessed you. And Lord, I pray today that, Lord, that there would be a good spirit and that of liberty and that to preach. And Lord, to just have the message for the hour. God, I pray that you would just move in a great way today. I pray, God, that you would just help folk that might be lost, that they could be saved. Lord, that they'd come to know you in the free pardon of sin and trust you. God, I ask today that while we stand to preach, that, Lord, that we would be able to preach and that with no fear, no favor in that of anybody, but in that to be able to preach and that with the power of God. And I pray that you'd anoint us afresh today while we preach. And Lord, you told us in John 15:5 that without you we can do nothing. And God, I just pray that you would just come by today. Lord, there may be somebody here lost, save them. Maybe somebody has a need, meet that need today. Would you please just open the scripture and that up to us to where we truly might know what you'd have us to know today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all and just tell you that we love you and thank you for all that you've done. Now, would you please meet with us today? I pray while we stand to preach. And ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. In the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians right here in chapter 4, Paul talks about in verse 1, he says it's the mercy in the ministry is why he's not fainted. And I'll be honest with you, the reason that me and you've not fainted in this battle is because of the mercy of the Lord. Because of His mercy that He's given to us is the reason that me and you have not thrown in the towel and the reason that we've not quit. Boy, I thank God for His mercy every day that He's given us. There's been times that I've wanted to quit and there's been times that I felt like quitting and there's been times that I've been wore out. But thank God and that for His mercy that keeps us going. But in verse 2, Paul talks in that about wanting to be honest in the ministry. He said, "I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I don't walk in craftiness. I don't handle the word of God deceitfully." Amen. Many men standing behind the pulpit today, many Sunday school teachers have handled and that the word of God deceitfully and that to make it say what they wanted it to say. I'm not concerned about making it say what I want it to say. I want to know what it says to me. Amen. What God has got for me and what God has got for you. And I sat down to study this message. Here was the thing that I prayed. I said, "Lord, I need what they need and I need what I need." Amen. listen, I want to be honest. When I sat down to pray, I want some things from God's Word. Amen. But then he talks about the hidden gospel. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I tell you what, we need to let our light shine. Amen. Because I tell you what, there's no other way and that for anybody to be saved and accept through the Lord Jesus. And we need to let our light shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We look in verse 5, he talks about preaching Jesus. And in verse 6, he says that we ought to, that Jesus shined so that we could be saved. Ain't you glad that he's the light of the world? Amen. And he said, let your light shine, therefore, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, when they see how good you are, and you let your light shine and that before this world, it'll point them to the Lord Jesus Christ every time. When we do it so that we may be seen, listen, we're wasting our time. But if we'll let our light shine and that to honor God, he'll get seen and he'll get the glory. And in verse 7, it talks about how our salvation is in earthen vessels. Listen, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. If anything gets done, it's because of him. Amen. The power is of God today. Amen. Paul talks about, I believe it is back in the first part, and that in the book of 1 Corinthians. He tells us over there, he said in verse 4, verse 2, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I believe preachers are missing power. I believe Sunday school teachers are missing power. I believe choir is missing power sometimes. And I believe that Christians are just missing the power of God in their life, because they don't want to draw nigh and realize where it comes from. Listen, if you want to have power with God, learn to pray. Learn to read and study your Bible. And live holy. And for now, I guarantee you, you'll figure out how to have power with God. I want to preach this morning, God been our helper, and that out of verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And I want to preach this morning, having a thought on why we preach Jesus. Paul said, I don't preach me, but I preach Jesus. And you know what? That's what will make all the difference in the world. Boy, when we get to preaching and that Jesus. Now, I know what the Bible says in the book of Acts. I'll not shun to preach and that the whole counsel of God. But friend, I'm telling you, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelations 22:21, it's a book and that about him. And I'll deal with that in a minute. But listen, in Acts chapter 8, Philip is out there and he's winning and he's joined himself and that to the eunuch. And the eunuch has made his chariot stand still and he's reading in Isaiah chapter 53. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 8. I'll get started here in a minute. Acts chapter 8, and the Bible tells us what that eunuch was reading. The Bible says in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And look what your Bible said. And preached unto him Jesus. Listen, reckon what Philip preached over there and that about. Hey, I'm telling you, that would be a wonderful message and that to have heard. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins to tell a little bit about his testimony, and he says this, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Hey, Paul didn't say I'm going down to preach the law. Paul didn't say that I'm going down to preach the Jewish doctrine, but he revealed his son in me, and that is who I'm going to preach. Well, I'm telling you, I believe preaching Jesus make all the difference in the world. I do. I believe, boy, when we honor Him and we preach on Him and about Him and what He done, friend, I believe it'll make all the difference in the world. Number one, why we preach Jesus. Can I say, first of all, that we preach Jesus because of who He is. What do you mean, who He is? Hey, can I tell you, first of all, He is the Son of God. Hey, can you imagine that the Son of God that had fellowship with the Father that was in heaven was willing and that to leave heaven for the likes of me and you? She sang that song, He's Still Working on Me. It may not mean a whole lot to you, but I know me. I know me. I know how low down and sorry I am sometimes. But friend, I'm telling you, I'm glad that He still loves me. He's still working on me and He ain't done. But friend, can you imagine the very Son of God left heaven for me and you? Hey, listen, Gabriel showed up one day on there in Luke chapter 1 to a little virgin girl and said, this thing that's in you is going to be called the Son of the High. Hey, listen, Gabriel, the angel, and that from heaven declared it to be so. That He was going to be the Son of God, or that He is the Son of God. Well, listen, there was a time in the book of Mark, chapter 5, when Legion, after Jesus coming over there to the Gadareans, and He steps off the boat over there, and the Bible tells us in Mark, chapter 5, but when he saw Jesus afar off, ran and worshipped Him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Not only did the angel Gabriel and that show himself and that to Mary and to Joseph and declare Jesus to be the Son of God, but the devils themselves declared Him to be the Son of God. You can look in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is healing the sick over there. And it said this, and devils also came out of many crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ. Listen, I'll tell you what, the devil's has got a lot of folk beat today.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, a lot of folk don't want to admit that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, listen, Gabriel stepped out of heaven and declared Him to be the Son of God. The devils, who in that was cast out of heaven, knew that He was the Son of God. Can I tell you that His disciples declared Him to be the Son of God? Peter was over there one day and Jesus asked him a question. And he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say thou art Elias and some others Jeremiah. And about that, you know, and a lot of things that they had to say. Some said John the Baptist. But then Jesus turned and looked and he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, "Say." He said, flesh and blood. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed this unto thee. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you ever going to see Jesus for who He is, heaven has got to reveal it unto you. Hey, God Himself's got to come and speak to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 14, they're on that boat. Peter has got off walking on the water and began to sink. And Jesus asked him, wherefore didst thou doubt? But when he got him back up in the boat, now got over to the seashore, the Bible said, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. But whether Gabriel declared it, or whether the devils declared it, or whether His disciples declared it, God the Father declared it. In Matthew chapter 3, John's baptizing out on the River Jordan.
Yeah, come on.
And the Bible said that he come walking over there in John chapter 1 and verse 29. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible said that John took him down there and baptized him. And he come up straightway, and the Spirit descended him upon him like an unto a dove. And there was a voice, and that heard from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You find the time, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 17 when his disciples are up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they've seen Moses and Elijah up there with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said that they're over there talking about Calvary, talking about his crucifixion, and that would have been a sight to behold. Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't you like to hear that conversation?
Yeah.
Here stands Moses and Elijah, a representation of the law and the prophets, what the Old Testament had to say about Jesus. Amen. I'll deal with that here in just a second. Now I'm talking about why we preach Jesus. We preaching fellas because he is the Son of God. Amen. He's on top of the Mount of Transfiguration and headed down, and them boys get overshadowed in a cloud. And it's just Jesus and then Peter, James, and John. And here's what they heard. They heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's a good exhortation, ain't it? To hear the Lord. Why we preach Jesus? First of all, because he's the Son of God. We preach him because of who he is. Not only is he the Son of God, and hey, thank God he is today, because only he can forgive sins. Amen.
Amen.
But then can I tell you, the reason we preach him is because he is the substance of this whole Bible right here.
Amen.
If you take your Bible and go to the book of Luke with me real quick, in Luke chapter 24, we find them disciples on the road to Emmaus. We find them on the road to Emmaus over there. And boy, they're sad because Jesus has been crucified, but he's rose again. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible said, here they are. Jesus has met up and that with these disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I mean, they're just in such a shape. And the Bible said in verse 22, they're in the middle of this conversation. And after they told Jesus that they had trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And verse 22, "And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Now look what Jesus begins to say. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Hey, do you realize when Jesus began to expound and explain the scriptures that all he had was from Matthew or from Genesis and the Malachi. Listen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was being wrote. The Pauline epistles hadn't been wrote yet. Hey, listen, he's going back and he's saying, "Look at everything that the prophets and the law had to say about me." You know why we preach him, fellas? Because it's all about him.
Amen.
Hey, listen, there's a red ribbon runs from the beginning of this thing to the end. There's a scarlet thread in there that we see him everywhere inside this book.
Amen.
You can't read this book and not see Jesus.
Amen.
He's been in our since the beginning, since man sinned. You find in Genesis chapter 3 over there, I believe it is, where it talks about how that he would put enmity between the devil and the woman over there. He said, "Between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel." Hey, listen, yonder at Calvary, Satan bruised his heel, but there's come the day when he's going to get him and get him for good. Hey, I'm glad I know the end of the book. I know the substance of the book. Hey, listen, he's more than just words on pages. He's a living God today. Amen. That is the Word of God. Amen. Hey, the Bible said there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 it said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hey, he's more than just a book. He's the substance of it all. Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, he's a substance. Boy, ain't it a good substance today? What do you mean? It's a good substance. Hey, I'm talking about it's something to eat, ain't it? Hey, I'm talking about it's something that can give you something. I'm glad I've got a book that can give me something. That can help me live day in and day out. But it's all about Him. Why do we preach this book? Because of who He is. He's the Son of God. But He's the substance of this book. All through it. You look in Psalms chapter 22, you'll find Jesus. You look in Isaiah chapter 53, you'll find Jesus. You go over to Daniel chapter 3, that old wicked king throw Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I throw them down there in the fiery furnace. And I mean, they had them in their coats, their hosen, and their hats. I throw them in there, had them bound. And the only thing that burned off was them what was bound. And the Bible said that old king looked over the edge and said, did we not throw three men into the fire? And they said, true, O king. He said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. Hey, He's the substance of that book today. Amen. Glory. I'm glad I got a book that's about Him. Think if they wrote a book about you, what would it say? I'd be afraid of what it might say about me. But what it says about Him. Glad I got a book. Boy, if you ain't ever fell in love with the Bible, I tell you what, you fall in love with the God of the Bible and the Savior of the Bible, you'll fall in love with the Bible. I'm honest. There's been times I've needed something. Just needed something. Didn't know what I needed, but I needed something. Yeah. And boy, you pray and pray. And just say, Lord, I need something. I need something. And I guess a lot of times we expect something miraculous from heaven to happen and just feel better about things. Can I tell you, it don't always work that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to reach up and you got to take this book and you got to open it and you got to begin to read. And I've learned that every time I do that, boy, I find some help. Hey, listen, I preach Him because of who today. Listen, Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ the Lord. Hey, because of who He is the Son of God. He is the substance of this book right here. Hey, but listen, He's the sinner's only hope that they got today. You want to see somebody get saved, a sinner get saved, tell them about Jesus. Amen. You can tell them about the good things of the church. But you know what I find a lot of times? People want to talk more about their preacher than they do Jesus.
Yeah.
You find that today. They want to talk about the way. And listen, I hope you got good things to say about me.
Yeah.
I really do. I really want you to have good things to say and not bad things to say. But can I tell you, it ain't about me. Hey, it's not. What did Paul go on to say in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 that we read, or verse 4? He said this, for God, first of all, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. But then he goes on to say in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Hey, if sinners has even got a hope, it'll be because of Jesus today. Amen. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. You can say, boy, I believe you'll like our preacher. You know, you need to come and hear him. I hope you're telling the truth. And I hope they do like me when they come. Amen. I wouldn't want to turn nobody off, but we're going to tell the truth. Amen. But I'm telling you, He's the only hope that sinners has got. Why we're going to preach Jesus? Because He's hope today. You know, that word hope means a desire of something good with at least the slight expectation of getting it. Can I tell you, my hope in Christ is more than just a slight expectation. It goes on to say that hope is a confidence in a future event. Listen, I've got confidence in a past event. What are you talking about? Well, I've got confidence in Calvary. I've got confidence in an empty tomb. Amen. I'll deal with that here in a minute. I got hope in that empty tomb. You ever been to Jerusalem? Have you ever been over there? I ain't never been there. I ain't never been to Jerusalem. Hey, listen, I ain't never been over there to see that empty tomb, but I know that it's empty.
Amen.
Amen. I got to singing in there in the study last night. Singing, He lives, He lives. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen. Listen, hope. I've got hope in a past event. Not only that He went to Calvary and died for my sin and that there's an empty tomb over there, but I've got confidence in a past event that when I asked Him to save me, that He done exactly what He said He'd do. Amen.
Amen.
I've got hope in that event too. Hey, that it's going to come to pass one day that when He comes with that, if I leave by the grave, that He's going to see me through. And if I go in the rapture, He'll see me through there too. Amen. Hope also means an opinion or belief grounded on substantial evidence.
Amen.
I would call it substantial
Amen.
Evidence. I like that old song. We used to sing it at the church that I grew up in. That my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm trying to remember how that old song goes. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is in Him today, in what He done. Listen, He's the only hope that this world has. You know, folks looking for something. They're wanting something.
Yeah.
Listen, they've tried everything in the world. They're needing something. They're wanting something that can give them hope.
Yeah.
Not only in this life. Hey, Paul said, if I had hope only in Christ Jesus in this life, I'd be of all men most miserable.
Yes,
you know what? You know what he's saying? If your hope went out there to that rock, that gravestone, and it ended right there, you ain't got much of a hope.
Amen.
But it goes far beyond that. Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I went to Him to get saved. And you know what He done? Now He reconciled all mankind at Calvary. Amen. He reconciled all mankind at Calvary. But I'll tell you what though, He personally reconciled me to God that night that I got saved.
Yes, He did.
He was the mediator that stood between me and God.
Yes.
Colossians 1 said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope. My hope of glory is what? Christ in me. Christ in me. Paul went on to say in 1 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's my hope. He's my hope. Boy, I get to thinking about a lot of other things. You ever wonder what folk really put hope in today? How they know? What? You ever talk to folks and say, well, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get to heaven. Well, what makes them say that they're pretty sure that they're going to get to heaven? You ought to talk to some folks sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talked to a lot over at the nursing home.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, they're hoping that their good works will get them in. But I always love to sit down and talk to that dear old saint that I ain't never met before and ain't never met me. And it don't take but just a minute or two, and I'll have a conversation started. A lot of times I just ask them if they ever went to church. And, you know, I'll let them tell me all about that. And I say, well, do you know that you're going to heaven? I sat down with one fella one time, and we just sitting at a table. He'd come up there to get him some sweet tea. He loves sweet tea. And man, if I ever get put in a home, I hope they got sweet tea. Amen. Amen. Man, I hope Jesus comes back before I got to go to the home.
Man.
I'll be honest with you. Amen.
Yeah.
I do. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, I go over because I think I'm supposed to, but I hope I'm building up something good against that day.
Yeah.
I'm being honest about things. I hope that I'm building something good against that day. If I'm ever over there, the dear old preacher will come by and visit with me one day. Amen. Hey, you'll go over sometime, just visit. They'll lighten up. But anyway, I was talking to a fella here a while back, and
we're sitting at a table, and he'd come up there to give him some tea, and we're sitting there, and he was telling me about being in the service. He had failed between the service between Korea and Vietnam. He'd been in service during that time, and so I began to talk to him about the Lord, and he lightened up our little bit, and I talked to him about his salvation, and he, oh yes, I got saved. And he rattled that day right off, all the way back in 1978, I believe it was, and began to tell me all about it. Hey, there's another feller in there, and I'll be honest with you, his mind is trapped back. You talk to him for just a minute or two, and you think he's just the same can be. But there's another one in there that's trapped back yonder. He's got caught way back yonder. But you know what? He can go back and he can tell me when he was 21 years old. He can tell me where the church was. He can tell me all about getting saved.
Praise God.
Hey, listen, God hope. Hey, listen, I've got a hope. How about you? Do you got a hope? I'm glad I've got a hope. It's in Him. Hey, listen, it is in Him. Hey, we preach about Jesus because of who He is. He's the hope for sinners today. Number two, we preach Jesus because of what He done. What did He do, preacher? Well, first of all, He suffered for my sins and died for me. And she, hey, I ain't going to tell you nothing you don't already know this morning. Ain't you glad that He bled and died for you? I am. My soul, I look at me sometimes and look at how sorry and low down that I am. And to think that the blessed Son of God would go yonder to Calvary. Now you, hey, listen, think about that. He didn't get, hey, the Bible said in Romans 3 that there's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. And that was me and you. But listen, Jesus bled and died so that we could be saved. Isaiah 53, I think about this from time to time. Now, according to the book of Colossians, He's the one that created it all.
That's right.
Amen. He was right there on creation day. When God reached back on nothing and created something that we call the earth. Your mind may not work like this, but mine does. I think about every now and again when He spun this thing into existence and it created, and there was a hill called Calvary created just right outside of Jerusalem over close to Mount Moriah. I kind of wonder what He thought about that. I kind of wonder when that tree began to sprout out of the ground that He knew that they was going to make His cross out of. I kind of wonder what He thought about that. Y'all ever think about it? I think about that. Hey, listen, what are you saying? I'm saying He knew what He was coming to do when He came. He didn't come unknowingly. He came knowingly what He was going to do. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yonder at Calvary. Why do I preach about Jesus? Because He took my sin and your sin. You may not think you're a sinner today, but Romans chapter 3 said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Little boys and little girls and young men and young ladies and men and women, all are sinners needing to get saved. Ain't that something? I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Boy, you get over there to Calvary. You get over there to Calvary. And they so much took place at Calvary.
Yes, thank God.
And boy, we'll see some more about that next week, it being Easter. Yeah. But listen, at Calvary is where He died.
Yes.
And boy, my sin was imputed to Him. You know what imputation means it was applied to Him. So God judged Him for my sin. And you can look through Isaiah chapter 53. And you know what? We preach Him not only because He died for sin, but because He satisfied the Father.
Amen.
He did. At Calvary, He satisfied the Father. Hey, He satisfied the law. God looked down from heaven with the visor of the law on. Amen.
That's right. Come on.
And God said, He said, how do you know God got satisfied? Isaiah 53. Bible said in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make an offering when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What the Bible tell us? That he made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God made his soul an offering for sin. And when he looked down from heaven, he was satisfied. God said, we say that's good enough. Sometimes that implies that, well, that'll do. That'll do. Like there's still a little room for improvement. When we say, well, that's good enough, sometimes what that implies, there's some room for improvement. Hey, when God looked down from heaven and he said that's good enough,
Amen.
There wasn't no room for improvement.
That's right.
That was good enough. Hey, listen, he was the only one that could do it. Think about that for a little bit. Hey, Jesus died for us and satisfied justice. But can I tell you, I preach of him not only because of who he is, but because of what he done. He conquered death. Now, ain't that something? He got over in Revelation chapter 1. John seen him holy, you know. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Them women come down there to the grave that morning. They knew where he was buried. And them angels were sitting down there. And one of them said that he was sitting up there on top of the rock, you know. And sometimes I like to think he was sitting up on that rock just swinging his legs, you know. He just waiting on them to get there. And here's what they asked them women down there. They said, why seek you the living among the dead? For he is not here, but he is risen.
Amen.
Just like he said. You know why? Listen, that man called Jesus wouldn't be worth preaching about if he didn't conquer death.
That's right. Amen.
We'd still be in our sin. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians 15. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians 15. You know what makes Jesus different than anybody else? He's alive. He's alive. Muhammad's still laying in the grave over there, ain't he?
Right.
Amen, preacher. Hey, Buddha's still laying in the grave.
Amen. Come on.
Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ, and what he's talking about is some is saying resurrection is past, and that there will be no resurrection. You know, it's not going to happen. But Paul is going on to tell about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ didn't get out of the tomb, what I'm doing right now is worthless.
Amen.
What you feel is worthless.
Come on.
Hey, listen, I've been feeling pretty good since I got in here this morning.
Yes.
It ain't every Sunday morning that I walk in and feel pretty good. But I feel pretty good this morning. Amen. Although I knew what I was preaching before I got up. Amen. Unless God had something else to do with it, you know. Hey, listen, Paul said, if Christ is not risen, then what we're preaching is vain. Verse 14, and your faith is also vain. What you believed. Yea, and you had believed, hadn't you? What does it take to be saved? You go back to the very first part of the book of Corinthians. You must believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. If you believe that,
Amen.
And ask Jesus to save you. I'm talking about believing it in your heart. A lot of people believe it up here. But I'm talking about believing it in your heart. And asking him to save you, he'll do just that. Paul said, yea, and we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Looky here, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He said, you're still in your sins.
Right.
And he said, them ones that died believing in Jesus, they've perished in their sins. In verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If this is it,
yeah.
If this is it, you ain't got no hope.
That's right.
Hey, I'm glad, listen, I'm glad. I'm going to go back to that hope. I'm glad that I've got a hope that's good to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, it makes living good. Oh, we got bad times. Yeah, we got problems. And yeah, there's sad times. But would you want to face this world without Him? Think about that for just a second. I'm preaching on why we preach on Jesus. I preach on Him because He's alive.
Amen.
Hey, but listen. Listen, my hope is far beyond this life. I not only got something good to live by, I got something good to die by. That thrills me. The older I get, the more that I don't want to use that word worry. Don't want to use that word worry. But I do get a little concerned about that thing. Because you know why? I know it's coming. Hey, when I was 21 and 22 years old, I knew it was coming. I just didn't think about it. But you bust the big 4-0.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, they say the 40s the new 30. You know what? It's my heart's still 42 years old.
Yeah.
You know. You say, well, preacher, you got a long time. You don't know that, and I don't know that.
Right.
That's why I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Praise
I'm
God.
Ready to go. I not only got something good to live by, but I've got something good to die by.
Right.
You know why? Because I got life in Him now. According to the book of Little John, 1 John chapter 5, this life is in His Son, the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got life.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I not only have it now, but I'll have it then.
Yeah.
When I get in glory. Amen. Ain't that good? He conquered death. Christ is risen from the dead. Because He lives, I live also. And I've been justified. Number three, and last of all, we preach Jesus not only because of who He is, and not only because of what He done. And I could have just stayed there all day. Boy, I tell you, there's just times I just love. If I can get my mind unfocused from the world and get it focused on Him. We have that problem sometimes, don't we? I'll be honest with you. I struggle to pray sometimes. I get in my prayer closet, but it is the hardest thing to shut the door sometimes. Oh, physically I can shut the door. But mentally, it's hard to shut the door. And it's hard to talk about Him sometimes when we've got our mind focused on everything else and in every direction. But boy, every now and again, we manage to get our mind focused solely on Him. He's the Savior of the world. And I love to talk about what He done for me. I do. He saved me. I wasn't no count. Just a little old Baptist boy sitting on the back row of a Baptist church needing to get saved. Raised in church all my life. 14 years old. Just needing to get saved. That may be you this morning just needing to get saved. Boy, you can come and get saved today. Why we preach Jesus, not only because of who He is and what He done, but because of what He's going to do. What do you mean what He'll do? Ain't you glad that He still receives sinners? Listen, you may not be saved today, but He will save you.
Amen.
Luke 19 and 10 said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I'm glad that He will still save a sinner.
Amen.
Man, that thrills my heart.
Amen.
You know, it gets a little dry. And hey, listen, I love to hear it. I get a little jealous sometimes, but I still love to hear when I get them phone calls. Hey, listen, brother Strickland called me the other day, my preacher friend up in Ozone. He said, "Preacher, I just want to tell you something." He said, "My middle girl got saved today."
Amen.
Hey, I just sat down and cried for a while. That just tickled my soul. Listen, her mama's granddad passed away that went to the funeral, and right in the middle of that funeral, she broke down, 8 years old. And her mama took her out back and said, "Honey, it'll be okay." Thought she was crying because Papa had passed away. And you know what she told her mama? She said, "Mama, it ain't okay." She's now 8 years old. She said, "Mama, it ain't okay. I need to get saved." And I reckon her mama led her to the Lord back there in the back of the church. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, He still saves sinners. Amen.
Amen.
This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You know why I still preach Jesus?
You know why I started out preaching Him. I've always preached Him. I'm going to continue preaching Him all the way to the end until I draw my last breath. I'm going to preach Him. I got around an old timer over there in the nursing home one time. Found out he was a preacher. And bless his heart. I'm telling you what. He still had it in him. He still had it in him. I visited with an old preacher here two or three weeks ago. Need to pray for him. He ain't doing so good anymore. Went and seen Friday at another facility and he just ain't doing good. But I went and seen him about 2 weeks ago. And I just stood at the foot of his bed. And we just talked about old times and preaching. And he still had it in him to preach about that fella that saved him. Boy, I hope. I'm like Brother Fred. I love to see the end of a preacher that's been faithful all the way to the end.
Yeah.
But boy, I'm glad he still saves sinners.
Amen.
I'm glad. John 6, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." Boy, he still receives sinners. He'll receive you if you're lost.
Yes, he will.
He'll take you if you're lost and save you and forgive you and make you fit for heaven.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Yes. Boy, I thank him just every now and again for making me fit for heaven.
Right.
Can you imagine how heaven's going to be when we get there? Bible said there'll be nothing that enters there that'll defile that place.
That's right.
He's going to let us in. Hey, that's going to be a day. Whew. I'm glad he still receives sinners. And he'll take you if you'll come. But I can't tell you, not only do I preach because he'll still receive sinners, but he's going to rapture the saints out one day.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to that
yes.
day.
Yes.
I believe he's going to come. Just any day and get us.
Amen.
You can read over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to where he's coming for the church. He's coming to get us. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. "But I not have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not." Listen to what your Bible says. "Even as others which have no hope." Don't lose me right here. So hang with me right to the end. Listen, there's some that ain't got no hope.
That's right.
Listen, I got a hope for that time, for that rapture to come and get us. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What was that? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel, ain't it? "Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What a day. You know why I preach? He's coming again. He's coming to get the church. He's coming to get the church. He's coming for me and you. Listen, if you ain't never been saved, he ain't coming for you.
Right.
He's coming for me.
Amen.
How about you? I preach on him last of all because there's coming a day he's going to reign supreme one day after a while. What's that mean, preacher? He's going to reign supreme. He's going to take control of it all. The devil is the god of this world right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, we just read it, 3 and 4. "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." But you know what? There's coming a day. You know what Daniel saw over there after he got through all the kingdoms? He saw that stone kingdom over there. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to reign supreme at the judgment seat out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11. "When you stand before him, if you're saved, and you give an account for everything that's done, good or bad, in your body, and the work that you've performed for him, the motives behind your work, he's going to reign supreme. We're not going to stand and we're not going to tell him that it ought to be this way or that way. He's going to tell us how it was and how it's turned out. You need to realize that. But in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, he's going to reign supreme on the great white throne. John said, "Behold, I saw a great white throne from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." There's coming a day he's going to reign supreme there. And you're going to do the same thing. You'll not tell him how it was or how it's going to be.
He's going to tell you. And if you're lost and you die in that shape, or you miss the rapture of the church in that shape, you're going to stand in judgment one day. Paul talks about, we preach Jesus. He says, warning every man. You know why I preach? Because He is going to reign supreme. And you do need to be warned that He's going to reign supreme one day. Amen? He's king now, and He's going to be king then.
Amen.
Why we preach on Jesus. Who He is, what He done, and what He's going to do. Hey, if I started now just telling you everything that that book had to say about Him, I couldn't get it all told in a lifetime. Couldn't get it all told. You just need to know Jesus loves you and died for you if you're lost, wants to save you. Friend, if you're saved, you need to remember that He loves you and died for you, and He wants you to serve Him. Let's bow our heads across the house.